you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Woof. So I think super speed is the OG power. I think the Flash is the greatest power of them all. But who doesn't choose flight? Like, how cool is flight? Come on.
I would only want to be able to fly if I had invincibility too, because I just know I would do something.
Fly straight into something.
Yeah, I would just fly through an airplane and I would just be dead.
Welcome to Pulse 21, the podcast that, in 21 minutes or less, provides inspiration and insights from influential leaders who are guiding the restoration industry into the future. Stop working harder and start working smarter.
We are here with Jeff Patel today, and I'm going to let Jeff introduce himself. Go ahead, Jeff.
I come to CoreLogic and NextGear as a result of Luxor CRM. That area of the business really is mine. And my job and my team's job is to help all of the people in restoration maximize their results in sales and marketing. That's really our focus. And that's what I spend my days thinking about. And I spend my nights thinking about comic books. You can see I'm sitting in my office. Those rows and rows of boxes are thousands and thousands of comic books that I have collected over the course of my life.
So you're Bruce Wayne by day and you're Batman by night, prowling
the
rooftops of Toronto.
Right.
Okay, great. So you're here today to use both your knowledge of the restoration industry and your knowledge of comic books. And you are going to give us some pointers and some lessons that restoration companies can learn from comic books or comic book movies or whatever you want to pull from, correct?
Sure. Yeah, I'm excited to do that.
Awesome. All right. Well, what do you have first of all for us?
I think the first thing, and when we floated this topic, I started thinking about what could those lessons be? One of the first things you learn quickly, you see, most recently you saw it if you were a fan or you followed any of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. If you have kids, they certainly followed it. It was a cultural phenomenon over 10 years. They built a series of movies. But one of the first things they did, one of the things you learn early if you're a comic book person, you read comic books, is when the job is too big, it takes a team. We saw the Avengers come together, that movie, and then the following movies always grew back to another Avengers movie. And the penultimate part of the story in the Marvel Cinematic Universe was a Avengers movie. It was Endgame. And so what we saw is we saw these great films, and it's a lot like the comic books. We get these great comic books that are about a hero. But when the big story happens, when the big moment comes, the team has to come together. And so I think one of the things when we think about the restoration industry is lots of you out there have heroes on your team. You have people who are rock stars at what they do, but they do it largely on their own or in their own area of the business. But when the big job comes, when the big push to grow the business comes, when the opportunity to expand into a new market comes, nothing is more important than the team coming together.
Same way in the movies, sometimes the personalities can clash, and part of the character development is for them to work through those personality clashes,
right,
in order for them to be able to meet that, to go and tackle that big job or that big, you know, that big villain or whatever, you know?
So that's exactly what happens. One of the most classic tropes of comic books is that the heroes have to fight before they figure out they're on the same side, which you would think after 50 plus years of comic books, we would have moved well past, but we haven't. It's still a trope that shows up frequently, and it showed up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It showed up in Batman versus Superman. The heroes have to fight before they realize that they've got to work together as a team. It's not uncommon for us to see sales teams and production teams that are combative with each other. But if the company is going to achieve its goals, if it's going to grow, if it's going to become the great organization that so many of its leaders envision it can be, after the battles, we have to figure out we're on the same side and we've got to come together, because it will open the doors. When production and sales run hand in hand and are on the same team and are both contributing to what the other one's trying to accomplish, it will open doors and provide opportunities. It will elevate all the key areas of the business that allow for growth and key account development and so many things that every owner is dreaming about.
Awesome. Okay. So that's one lesson, and I know you have more. What else have you got for us?
I think the other thing, Rex, that really stands out as a lesson that we can take from comic books is that there's always more than one way to succeed. And too often we fall into this structure of thinking, like, I've always done X, so I have to always keep doing X. One of the things comic book teaches us is the villain comes at the hero, and the hero figures out a way to defeat the villain. In the next story, and it could be a year, two, 3 years down the road, when a writer brings the villain back, they've, you know, I've already had to deal with being defeated that way. So the writer has to think of a new way, right? It can't just be a case of, you know, the first time out, Batman punched me in the face. The second time out, Batman's going to punch me in the face. That's not a compelling story. And so we have to find other solutions. We have to be prepared to look at problem solving and say, is there a better way? Is there another way? One of the traps, not just for restoration, but for every business, is this idea that because we solved the problem, there's no better solution. We don't need to think about other solutions. We can just leave it behind. And then when the problem rises up again, often we put ourselves in a scenario where, like, oh, well, the thing that fixed it last time doesn't fix it this time. And we really are thrown off our game. We're unprepared for it. Comic books teaches us there's another solution, and we should always be looking for it. We should be exploring it. We should be trying to figure out what it is, because the problem we solved today might have been solved by people. Well, what if the person that filled the gap or made the problem go away isn't with us the next time the problem comes up? What if the skill set isn't quite as polished in the person that replaces them? What if the tool that they had isn't available at the time that we need it next time? There's so many reasons why the problem could rear its head again. If we're not trying to figure out other ways to succeed, we get locked into having to continue to do things the same way. And then we're stuck, we're trapped. If the industry shifts, if the needs of customers shift, we're going to have a hard time if we haven't trained ourselves to realize there's more than one way to succeed.
Can you speak to how technology plays into that? Because let's say, like, you know, Batman punches in the face the first time, right? And that's right. Without technology. That's okay. Well, this other thing comes up and you realize, okay, you know, the Joker shows back up, but this time he's in a blimp with poison gas, you know, whatever.
Right.
We're going to need some technology to fight that, because I can't punch Joker in the face right now. So how does technology play into that?
I think this is a great question. Great follow-up, Rex. As we start to look at how we've problem solved historically and how we've looked at our path forward historically, we start to realize, you know, over the last 10 years, we've seen technology emerge into that solution more and more often. Technology moves faster than probably anything we've pulled into the business prior to it. And so if you think pre-2010, the level of technology and the level of change in the business would have been really low. Whether you're talking about how we process something like contents or how we deal with claims or what our communication vehicles are with customers, since 2010, that hasn't changed once. In most of those cases, it's changed 3, 4, 5 times. Technology is changing constantly. Our job is to parse it, figure out what pieces of the technology actually allow us to bring better solutions to the table, while not forgetting the other options we've looked at, because a shift tomorrow or a customer with a unique circumstance might actually put us in a situation where the other solution is actually a good solution at a time when we were committed to the one we chose. And it's not going to stop. Tomorrow, a year from now, 3 years from now, new technology will continue to emerge that presents us with new alternatives in terms of tools on the path to success. We have to continue to evaluate them well for our business, to figure out where we're going, and to see how they open opportunity up for us to solve problems and move the business forward in new ways. If we don't do that, we run the risk of being left behind. No matter how good we are at what we do, our competitors are always trying to get better. And if they're embracing technologies that open doors and we're not, even if we're great at what we do today, we are falling behind.
I love it. And it's kind of like thinking about like the first suit in Iron Man is a lot different than the Iron Man suit in Thanos, because when you're, you know, Thanos is coming at you with a lot more than Jeff Bridges.
It's also, as we look at that and we think about it, like Iron Man's such a great example of the technology piece and the constant evolution and finding new ways to go forward, finding different answers to the problem, knowing that there's more than one way to succeed. We see the same villain show up in multiple comic books. The heroes have different skill sets and different abilities. They solve the villain unique to themselves. How is that any different than what our contractors are all unique? Their businesses are all very, everybody puts their hand up and says, well, I'm not like that because this in my business, but they all face the same challenges and problems. The one commonality they can look to though is technology.
When I sent you this topic or this idea, you sent me some ideas, and the interesting one, the one that stood out that I was like, how is he going to play that in, is the bad guy has a story too. So explain that to me.
So I think there's a propensity amongst contractors in our industry, pardon me, to view certain other parties as the bad guy. Sometimes it's the adjuster. I hate dealing with this adjuster. I hate that they're trying to cut me down on a price, or I hate that there's a combativeness baked into the relationship with how they deal with the adjuster. It could be independent adjusters. It could be property managers. It can take your pick. There are so many stakeholders in a claim and in a loss. And so often I speak to contractors who tell me, you know, the problem with it is X other person, right? So from their perspective, because I'm not sure I agree with that, but from their perspective, there's a bad guy in the story. Mm-hmm. I think what we need to recognize is the bad guy has a story too. And in the bad guy story, you might be the problem, right? And so mm-hmm. when we think about how we work in our industry, the truth is we probably all are trying to accomplish the same goal. The goal being, we want to resolve the loss in a way that's beneficial to all parties. If you're out there saying, like, I want to make a ton of money, I want to run the costs up, I don't care if it's bad for the adjuster, you're putting yourself in a bad situation, right? You're creating conflict and adjusters who are actively working against having you on their job. That's not good for you. If you are out there and you are, hey, listen, I want this to be good for everybody. I want to bring it in at the most reasonable cost, but I still want to be profitable. I want the homeowner to be happy. I want all parties to feel good about this. We're in a better position, one, to make the narrative or the case that we should get more work from those adjusters, right? Look at how we really do partner. But two, it reduces the frustration and the anxiety and the stress that's created in our own business when we don't look at the other people as the bad guy. When we recognize that they have a story and objectives and they don't have to be in conflict with us. Now, I know there's a ton of contractors right now that think that that's naive commentary, that they have to be combative with adjusters, that they can't help. It's not their fault. The adjusters are the problem. I just don't know that that's the best way to approach any loss scenario. And certainly one of the things that we've learned, and so we talk about how much the industry has changed in the last 10 years. One of the things we've learned and seen in comic books over the last 15 years or so is that comic book stories, the bad guys are getting more and more of their own stories. You know, way back in the 60s, the Joker had his own comic book, and it was so groundbreaking that the Joker would be the heart of the story. What we're seeing now is that that happens all the time. Thanos has had multiple comic books written about him. Other villains have gotten stories written about them. Why? Because people are starting to realize there's more than one story to this situation. And to truly understand it, I need the whole picture. If we only view people, our story is the only story that matters. The adjuster, the independent adjuster, the property manager, the other contractor that's on the job with us, whoever it might be, if we only view them as a villain, as the bad guy, And that becomes the lens of our whole company. We become the company that's difficult to deal with, right? The first place we have to look in solving that dynamic and making us a better partner across the board is at ourselves. How do we fit in their story? And I don't think as a rule, we do a great job. And if we do, congratulations to you and your company, because I think you're an outlier. I don't think you're the norm of our industry.
Yeah. And when you think about it, that I won't even call him the villain, the antagonist, right? Of the story is written into the story in order to develop the protagonist. So the Joker is there to bring out the best in Batman, you know, or Lex Luthor is there to bring out the best in Superman, or whichever hero, you just pick one. And when we think, if we can shift our thinking to, oh, this person who is the bad guy, I'm using, you know, finger quotes, who's the bad guy. Right. What if I look at them instead of the bad guy, I'd be like, they're here to make me better. And even through their conflict or something that they may be doing that I don't necessarily agree with or is different, it's strengthening me and it's bringing out the best in me. If we could shift to that way of thinking, we're going to be better and we're going to succeed even more, right?
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. I love the way you articulated that. And I would say, Rex, you know, for anybody out there who's a big Simon Sinek fan, he's been preaching that for 12 years now. Healthy rivals are good for your business, right? Everybody wants to look at competitors in their market and be like, oh, they're terrible, or oh, they're I hear lots of contractors talk their competitors down or get frustrated because they're in a class or in a course where they thought they were going to learn some secret weapon and they see a competitor. Like, why are they allowed to be here if I'm here? Healthy rivals are good for your business. They show you where you need to grow. They show you that by focusing in this area of your business, they've got an advantage in that area of the business. And that calls your attention to it. It does exactly what Rex is talking about. When we drop an antagonist, I'm going to say villain because I like comics. Yeah. When we drop a villain into a story, their job is to force the hero to bring their strengths to the foreground, to get better, to improve, to rise to the challenge. And I think healthy rivals do that for us. So great point. That really pairs well with the idea. Sometimes we treat people like rivals who aren't, when we think about other people related to the loss who should be partners, and yet we see them through that combative lens. And so in both cases, you know, it's really on us to rise to the level of the challenge and improve where we need to grow.
Okay. So last point that we're going to talk about in terms of what we can learn from comic books, you said there is always another battle coming. What do you mean by that?
Well, listen, in comic books, it's really simple. If there were no more battles, we would have been done with Batman in the 1940s. There's always another battle coming. There's always, so we can't win the big fight and kind of rest, right? Avengers Endgame taught us that Thanos was defeated. No more problems, right? Thanos is gone. There won't be any more Marvel movies then. Except that's not what we're going to get. What we're going to get is a whole host of new problems. Some of them are going to feel like maybe they're even bigger than what we dealt with Thanos. And that's the nature of comic books. It's also the nature of the restoration industry. We can close out a loss. We can have a great run. We can have a great year. But unless we're done... There's always another loss coming. There's always another year coming. We always have to be gearing back up for the next battle. There's a window in which we can celebrate our victory, whether it's this week, this month, this loss, this contract, this year. There's a window in which we can celebrate it. And that window is about 5 minutes long. And I think so many of our leadership know it. But I don't know if all of our all the people in the company, all the contributors, all the people who are maybe not thinking like leaders understand that, you know, yes, you want a pat on the back. Yes, you want a bonus, a commission, or whatever it might be. You want to celebrate, but we're back in the fight already. And it's a new fight and it could be tougher. It's going to present new challenges. There will be new hardships. The market will move away from us. There's always another battle coming. We wrote a plan. And it was 3 months ago, but it's a 12-month plan. But guess what? Things have shifted. The battle has changed. A new villain has shown up. We need a new plan. And so we've got to get back to being prepared for the next battle all the time.
Yeah, it's like, and I know these aren't your favorite movies, but it's like in The Dark Knight when Batman has caught Joker at the end. And you're like, oh, okay. I mean, at least in Batman's mind, the fight's over. You know, right. The Joker is hanging there off a building. He's not going anywhere. The cops are coming. He's caught. And then he realizes, wait, the Joker flipped Harvey Dent. And right. Now he's got to go deal with an even really an emotionally a bigger problem, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think we invest a lot in solving a problem. And it's good. We've got to solve the problems. We've got to find the solutions. We've got to figure them out. And then we get a moment where we're like, hey, we took care of that. And then you realize there's four others that have popped up. And whether that's a loss or whether you're dealing with challenges inside the business, whether you're trying to figure out how to navigate a new problem that the industry has kind of put in place that seems to be a barrier for you, there is always going to be another battle. And I think acknowledging it empowers us.
Thanks for tuning in to Pulse 21. See you next episode.